1 Corinthians chapter 6 and 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm going to read one verse from each of these chapters. We're going to continue preaching on the series, The Mindset of the Victorious Christian. And I almost diverted from our theme and our series in order to address the Memorial Day theme. And then I thought, I don't know of a better way. And I'll bring it down at the end of the message. I'll save it to the end of the message. But I don't know a better way to represent those that we ought to remember than to preach on this subject this morning, because folks, listen to me, the soldiers, those men and women that have served in the military over the years and were willing to give what they gave and sacrifice what they sacrificed, all gave some gave all. Let me just say this, they understood this mindset. They exemplified it. They lived it. And so you think about that as we're preaching down on down through it. And then let's take this and let's put it into our lives this morning. The mindset of the victorious Christian. Here's the question for today. Rights or responsibilities? Rights or responsibilities? Let's all stand for the reading of the Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Look at verse number 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 12. The Bible says, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. And if you'll go over to chapter 10 of the same book and look at verse number 23, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 23. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. From these two verses, we're going to preach a very simple three-point outline. And I think once we get through it, you'll understand the difference between rights and responsibilities. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us, dear God, the opportunity to preach on this subject, dear Lord, the mindset of the victorious Christian. And I pray, Lord, that we would allow you, please, dear God, after we're saved and after we present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. And Lord, I pray that we would take that next step, dear God, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And Lord, I ask, Lord, as you transform us, continue to change us, Lord, because of the salvation we received, the encounter with your Son, and then the indwelling of the Spirit of God, help us, Lord, to have our thinking rewired so that we think biblically, so that we can then have biblical emotions and we can make biblical decisions concerning our life. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. This is our fourth sermon in this series, The Mindset of the Victorious Christian. I preached 4 weeks ago, I think it was, on I Can or I Can't. I Can or I Can't. The next sermon in this series was Thermostat or Thermometer. And then last week, if you were not here, you can go on our website and listen to it. I think a very, very important message, Victim or Victor. Victim or victor. I had one of the men in our church come up to me after the third message and say, this may be the most important series you've ever preached at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I don't know if that's true or not. I know this, folks, that this world is training people to think in a way that's causing them to live a defeated life, a defeated life. And you know what? A Christian's not supposed to think like a lost person. And by the way, a dedicated Christian won't think like a carnal Christian. Just because you're saved, it does not mean that you ought not to have and need to have your thinking rewired. And so we are encouraged in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 2. I mentioned a little bit about that already. But folks, you know what? We are not to be conformed to this world. The world thinks a certain way. But we're supposed to be transformed. How is that accomplished? Through the renewing of our mind. And so we have to learn to think different as a Christian. We think biblically. The world thinks in a vein of humanism. They think along the lines of humanism. We think along the lines of Christianity and scriptures and Bible. And so we think different than the world thinks. Rights or responsibilities? We hear a lot about rights. Seems like that's the theme over and over and over again. Everybody's clamoring, wanting their rights. Let me say this, folks, and we'll do this in introduction, but as an American, we just sang our Star Spangled Banner, as an American, your responsibilities are more important than your rights. You know what? The first half of the 20th century, now you think back in the 1900s, and there's a few of you that have a reference point that's greater than others of us, but if you think back at the 1900s, the 20th century, I looked at this, I did some study, I did some examination. For the first 50 years of the 1900s, you know what citizens and politicians spoke often about? This is what they spoke often about. Our civil duties. And then all of a sudden in the last half, from about middle 1950s on, especially in the 1960s, and then it started, and good night, it's like a snowball running down a hill. It's gaining strength and momentum. All of a sudden, there's hardly any talk anymore about civil duties, and all of the talk is about civil rights. Civil rights. Now, folks, listen to me. As an American, our responsibilities are more important than our rights. Okay, civil rights or civil responsibility? Civil, the word civil means pertaining to a citizen. I mean, I think that even John F. Kennedy, which I don't think anybody would argue was an ultra-conservative president, but he recognized this trend, and in 1960 stood up, and in his inaugural speech he said this, "And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country." You know what he was saying? He was saying, he is seeing a shift where it used to be civil duties. What can we do for our community? What can we do for our state? What can we do for our country? And all of a sudden, this shifting over, what can our community do for us, our local government? What can our state government do for us? What can our federal government do for us? And everybody wants their rights. Everybody wants their rights. As a Christian, by the way, let's move on down here. As a Christian, your responsibilities are more important than your rights. Leonard Ravenhill, who wrote extensively, maybe the author of all authors on the subject of revival, he said this, "Today's church wants to be raptured from responsibility." From responsibility. Daniel Webster said this, "The most important thought that ever occupied my mind is that of my individual responsibility to God." Folks, Christianity, again, is not about our rights. It's about our responsibility. We live in a day where evangelical Christians want to tout their Christian liberty while grossly ignoring their Christian responsibilities. Let me bring it down more practically to our lives. In marriage, your responsibilities are more important than your rights. In marriage, your responsibilities are more important than your rights. One of the most difficult things that you deal with in marriage counseling is to get people to focus on their responsibilities instead of their perceived rights. The average marriage counseling session goes something like this. "Well, she's not doing this for me. Well, he's not doing this for me. Well, she's not doing this for me. Well, he's not doing this for me. Well, she's not doing this for me. Well, he's not doing this for me." And it goes on, and I mean, I can take a nap for a while. I can read the paper. I can check my emails. And for the next hour, it's just a barrage of she needs to do more for me, and can I say this, folks? That's the problem. And you know what? You're always going to have marriage problems when you are focused more on your rights or perceived rights than you are your responsibilities. Years ago, and I still pass them out, I gave one to Stephanie and I gave one to Stephen. When I did marriage counseling, I've passed them out to anybody and everybody in our congregation that wanted them. But I passed out 2 half sheets of paper, laminated, 12 biblical responsibilities a man has to his wife. That's the, I think it was blue, and then the yellow one was 12 biblical responsibilities a wife has for her husband. And I tell them when I give them to them, the yellow one is for the wife. That's your biblical responsibilities to your husband. Sir, this is yours. It's blue. That tells you your biblical responsibilities to your wife. The average marriage couple wants to go home and sneak over and grab the other person's list so they can go down and complain about their rights instead of being focused on their responsibilities. Men, we ought to be the leaders in this. God's put us as the head of our home. You know what? Get off this, what she isn't doing for me, and get focused on what you're supposed to be doing for your wife. And I'm going to tell you this, 99 times out of 100, if a man is doing what he's supposed to be doing for his wife, it's the natural inclination for the wife to return that and follow that and act in like manner. Amen. Amen. What I'm saying is, are you focused on right to respond? I'm trying to rewire some thinking here. You know, when young people enter into adulthood, the closer they get, the more I hear in this generation, and thank God there's exceptions, and most of them are in good churches like this. But when I hear young people getting up towards 18 years of age, it's amazing how much talk begins to come out of their mouth about their rights. Their rights. I'm 18 now. This is my right. This is my right. This is my right. This is my right. Hey, how come I don't hear you talking about your responsibilities? Okay? You know what? You know what actually makes you an adult? It is not turning a specific age. What makes you as an adult is when you stop talking about your rights and start taking responsibility for what God has placed upon you. Listen, responsibility is more important than rights. Hear that in adulthood. A young person that turns 18, 19 years of age and is focused on his rights will go out and begin to live a very selfish and foolish life. A young adult that's focused on his responsibilities, it enters into that time period of his life with fear and trembling because he realizes that the decisions he makes in those years, it's going to affect not only his life and his future, but the future of many, many other people. We're talking about responsibilities. As a neighbor, a landowner, you know what? It's easy for us to say, you know what? I don't want the government telling me anything I can or can't do with my property. And by the way, I agree with that. I'm 100% against zoning laws. Let me just say this. I'm 100% against anything where the government wants to come into a private citizen and tell him what he can or can't do with what is his. But let me say this, folks. If we're going to want the right, then we need to also assume the responsibility. And you know what? Irresponsibility has given the government, even though they should not do this, an argument for one to come in and begin to assume some of our rights. Well, this is my property. I've got the right. Okay, but you also have a responsibility to the person who lives on that side of you, and a responsibility to the person that lives on that side of you, and a responsibility to the person that lives across the road from you, that you don't do anything with your property that's going to affect their property value. How about that? Why are we always talking about our rights, our rights? What about our responsibility? I'm just giving you some things so that you're getting with me here. And folks, listen to me, and we need to really work on this in a younger generation. Stop asking, what am I allowed to do? And start asking, what am I supposed to do? A man who talks constantly of his rights is only concerned about what he believes others owe to him. A man who talks of his responsibility is primarily concerned with what he believes he owes to others and to his family and to his nation. John D. Rockefeller said this, every right implies a responsibility. Every right implies a responsibility. Every opportunity, an obligation. Every possession, a duty. And that kind of talk is almost lost in this generation of gimme, 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 gimme. And by the way, I have no responsibility. Now I want you to go back and look at the two verses, because I'm going to draw from this a three-point outline. Now if you look at chapter 6, verse 12, and I want you to imagine that you're in the study and you're going to say, preacher, I've been assigned to speak on these two verses, and I'm going to learn three things about responsibility here. And I think that if you think in that vein, you're going to see that there's three main points that we can draw from these two verses. 1 Corinthians 6:12, all things are lawful unto me. Hey, guess what? God's given a certain amount of rights. But what? But, all things are not, what's the next word? Expedient, all right? By the way, 1 Corinthians 10:23 starts out with the exact same wordage. All things are lawful to me, but all things are not expedient. So that's going to be our first point. Then it goes on in chapter 6, verse 12 to say this, all things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. I think that'll be a good second point. And then we go to 1 Corinthians 10:23, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. And then the verse ends with this statement, all things are lawful for me, but all things what? Edify not. And so although we have rights, and although God's given us a lot of Christian liberty, and thank God for it, let me say this, that it needs to be tempered with the precepts and principles of the Word of God. And we ought to speak less about our rights and more about our responsibilities. Well, I can do this. All right, you can do it, but should you? Well, this isn't sinful. It may not be sinful, but is it wise? Is it expedient? Does it edify? Is it going to bring you under the power of something that you cannot get out of? Are you listening to me? Watch this. Let's go down through it. Number one, never exercise a right that does not contribute to this world in a positive way. Never exercise a right that does not contribute to this world in a positive way. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not. Here's the word expedient. Expedient means to make a contribution, to produce a profit, to create a positive advantage. And so even though we have a lot of rights and a lot of liberty that's given to us not only through the scriptures, but also in our nation, we should never exercise a right that does not contribute to this world in somewhat of a positive way. Paul, through inspiration, was saying this, I have the right to do many things, but I will not exercise that right unless it contributes or profits or creates some advantage for my life and for others. Now, folks, listen to me. Young people, watch this. More and more things are becoming lawful or legal in America. All right? And by the way, the more that the heathens take over and the more that we get a pagan mentality, and as we enter solidly into our post-Christian era of the United States of America, more and more wickedness, more and more sinfulness is going to become lawful, is going to become legal. Well, it's not against the law. Is it expedient? Does it contribute in a positive way to society, to produce a profit, to create a positive advantage? I mean, two different times and by the way, I'm going to tell you this, and this, I want to say his name, I'll say it. I appreciate the fact that we had, as mayor for a time here at Jacksonville, Indiana, Dorman Clark. I really mean that. Dorman Clark and his tenure, along with Bruce Borders, back to back, did a lot. Listen, folks, Jacksonville, Indiana used to be known as a biker town and a bar town. And when I first came here in 1994 to be the assistant pastor of Blessed Hope Baptist Church, I think Dorman Clark, if I remember right, told me that there was 14 different establishments that had a liquor license in Jacksonville, Indiana. Like Jacksonville, Indiana needed 14 places, in about a 3-block downtown area where people could buy booze. And you know what? Churches and Christians, and thank God some local government leadership decided that they were going to whittle that down, and we got it all. By the way, at one time we had it all the way down to just 2. What was the goal? 0. That's the goal, 0. But you know what? Here, I mean, we've gone down to the courthouse, and your pastor's gone down to the courthouse, and we've fought these liquor licenses. And we had a restaurant here a while back that decided that they wanted to get a liquor license. And we went and stopped at one time because there was a church that was a distance, a storefront church, but a church that was already established that was there before they opened the restaurant. And they couldn't get a liquor license if they were within so many hundred feet of a church that was established. So we were able to go and fight it and got it denied. That storefront church then, shortly after that, closed down, and boy, they couldn't race fast enough back with their application. And you know what? Now there's no law. Watch, listen to me. Now there's no law. Now it's legal. Well, preacher, it's legal. Is it expedient?
Does it contribute? Listen to me. Does it make a contribution, a positive contribution to this community? Does it produce something that's profitable to the environment, to the young people, and to the families? Does it create a positive advantage for our community here? And listen, folks, what I'm saying is, you know what? There may be some things that are legal, but that doesn't mean that they're expedient. And the Bible still speaks out and says, woe unto him that puts the bottle to his neighbor's lips. And there's a curse that comes with it. I don't care what the laws of men allow. The laws of God will never change on this subject. And folks, listen to me. We have to make some decisions in America, not just shall we do this, should we do this, or can we do this, or is it legal or lawful to do this, but is it expedient to do this? Now, in your individual life, you're going to have opportunities, and you're going to have a temptation from time to time to say, preacher, I want to do this, and you know what? It's legal to do. It's lawful to do. You better filter it through the scriptures and say, does it contribute in a positive way? Does it profit? Does it create a positive and spiritual and holy advantage for my life and for those that it's going to affect? And you know what? If it doesn't, then don't do it. Listen, be worried about your responsibility, not your rights. Number one, never exercise a right that does not contribute to this world in a positive way. Number two, never exercise a right that has the potential to bring you under bondage. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. So I have a right to do this. It's legal to do this. It's lawful to do this. Young person, you're going to grow through your teenage years, and you're going to hit finally 19 years of age, and then you're going to enter into the 20-something category and have your 20th birthday, and then you're going to have your 21st birthday. And listen to me, on your 21st birthday, you know what? Sadly, it is lawful. Sadly, it is legal that you can walk into a bar or into a tavern, and you can take your driver's license, and you can lay it down on the counter, and you can tell people it's your 21st birthday, and you know what? You probably won't have to buy the first several rounds of drink. But just because it's lawful and just because it happens to be legal in this country, are you exercising a right that has the potential to bring you under bondage? And by the way, folks, listen to me. If you begin to study the thou shalt nots in the Bible, most of the thou shalt nots is trying to keep you away from things that can have potentially become your master. Your master. Well, you know what? I have a right, and I have my right as a smoker, and if I want to smoke, it's nobody else's business. It may be your right, but how about thinking about your responsibility? Your responsibility to your body, if you're a Christian, as the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. Your responsibility to the people around you. Your responsibility to the people that ride in the car with you. Responsibility to the people that sit in a restaurant with you. Listen, stop worrying about your rights and start meeting your responsibilities. This will govern things. Sadly, in the state of Colorado, and I've got a friend out there that lives in Colorado, and sadly, in the state of Colorado, they've made some of the most liberal laws when it comes to buying and smoking marijuana. And by the way, I'm just going to tell you this. I believe with the choices we have before us, and I believe when I watch the direction of our nation, it would not surprise me a bit if that begins to expand and more the rights, at least the things that are lawful and legal in this matter. And by the way, you better understand, marijuana's harmless. Marijuana is a gateway drug. It's a gateway drug, and very few people smoke marijuana and do not go on to some other form of drug. And listen to me, folks, you know, we've lost our minds. Now watch this. It may be lawful in Colorado to buy and smoke marijuana, but the Bible says this: all things are lawful to me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. A young man, young lady, as you grow up, and part of the growing up process is learning that you have some responsibilities. You're not an island. Everything that you decide and everything that you do affects other people in a positive manner and in a negative manner. And most of the rules that you have been given in your home, by your Christian parents are there, and they are designed to protect you from getting involved in something that can seem very harmless. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the way thereof is ends in death. And you know what? If you're not careful, you start down a road that seems pretty harmless, and you think you are in control of a situation, and next thing you know, that situation controls you. I want to address this, and I know it's a Sunday morning. I know we got young people here, and I'll be very careful. But pornography in the United States of America is becoming an epidemic. You say, well, preacher, it's legal, and it's even lawful, but it also has the ability to bring you under bondage. And sir, let me just say this. You want to hurt your marriage, you want to eventually destroy your marriage, then you get involved in that stuff. And what you better start doing is not thinking, well, you know what, I'm a certain age, and now I can do this, and by the way, it's even legal, and by the way, it's even lawful, and you better start thinking, wait a minute, does this have the potential to bring me under bondage? And if it does, leave it alone. Leave it alone. I'm talking about responsibilities instead of rights this morning. Number three, never exercise a right that tears down, hurts, or destroys those around you. In chapter 10, verse number 23, the Bible says, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. And then it ends this way. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. By the way, the word edify is literally a construction term. It's talking about building or being a builder. And you know what? There is construction and then there's destruction, all right? And there's those that come in and can take where there is nothing and build something beautiful. And there's somebody else that can come in where there's something beautiful and tear it down and make it into nothing. Depends on whether you're in the demolition business or the construction business. And you know what the Bible says? Even though that it may be lawful for you, legal for you to be involved in something, you may even have a right to do something, you know what? You should not do anything that fails to edify those around you. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. They don't build up. They tear down. They destroy. I want you to listen to this quote. Thomas Jefferson said, rightful liberty is unobstructed action according to our will within limits drawn around us by the equal rights of others. Now, I'm going to say that again because it's wordy, but it's good for us to have our brains challenged. Amen. This isn't Square Bob SpongePants. This is actually something that... Square Bob Sponge Pants, yeah. You say you didn't say it right. I say it the way I like to say it, amen. I always say there's a reason he squishes when he walks, my man. So. Now think about this. It's about time we got our brains to where we start walking, wrapping it around statements of intellect and statements of righteousness. Rightful liberty is unobstructed action according to our will. Now that's where most people want to stop. They think rightful liberty is unobstructed action according to our will. In other words, if I want to do it and I will to do it, I should be allowed to do it. But notice what Thomas Jefferson said, who, by the way, was a champion of liberty and a champion of human rights. Rightful liberty is unobstructed action according to our will within the limits drawn around us by the equal rights of others. Now, I know that's still pretty wordy, and young people, I'm going to give you a real simple explanation, all right? Elias can say, preacher, I'm American, and I have liberty, and I have certain rights as an American. And you know what I'm going to exercise? I'm going to exercise the right to swing my fists. And you just start going like this, okay? I'm an American. I have the right to swing my fists, and no one can say I don't have the right to swing my fists. And I don't care. Go stand in a corner and swing your fists all day. Amen. You're an American. You got a right to do it. But the old statement is this: your right to swing your arms ends at the end of my nose. Does that make sense to you? That's what Thomas Jefferson is saying there. He's saying, you know what? Some people want to say I should have unobstructed. I should have a rightful liberty is unobstructed action according to my will. And you know what? If I want to do it, I ought to be allowed. I'm an American. But you know what? When you can, listen, go swing your fist all you want to. But when you get close enough to somebody else where your fist meets their nose, you have failed to consider the rights of those, equal rights of those around you. So never exercise a right that tears down, hurts, or destroys those around you. Before you begin to exercise your rights, understand your rights are contained within limits drawn around us by the equal rights of others. That's what I was talking about a minute ago, about just being a good neighbor. And you know what? I got a right to do what I want to with my property. Well, okay, until it begins to affect somebody else's property. And by the way, think about how you would like it if somebody next door to you decided that, you know what, they were going to do something with their property that would diminish the value of your property. I think Jesus said something about that. Do unto others as you would have others do unto you. You know what, folks? The golden rule's still golden. So stop and think about it. I'm going somewhere with this. Stay with me. Well, I've got freedom of speech, freedom of speech. And you know what? That's a freedom that's granted to me by God Almighty and by the laws of the United States of America, and I've got freedom of speech. All right? And here's the old adage. You have freedom of speech, but you also have, watch this, instead of talking about your right to free speech, why don't you talk about your responsibility with your free speech? And the old adage is this: you can have the freedom of speech, but if you walk into a crowded theater and stand up and start yelling fire and cause panic and cause people to try to get to the exits and cause people to be hurt, maimed, or killed, and then you stand before a judge and say, well, I was just exercising my freedom of speech. You know what? You were worried about your rights and you weren't worried about your responsibilities. Young man, young lady, you do not have a right to say whatever you want to say. You have the responsibility to speak within the boundaries of what God has taught us in His Word. For instance, there's this guy that wrote this book entitled The Teenage Years of Jesus Christ. I've met him a few times. Brilliant man. And he's taken the time to put into this book the 10 Laws of Excellent Speech. By the way, I'm about to fall under conviction because I think number 8 or 9 is, here it is. Never praise yourself. Here it is. Let another man praise thee and not thine own mouth, a stranger and not thine own lips. There you go. And so, but you know what? Listen, freedom of speech. I can say whatever I want to. Well, the Bible says you ought to speak sparingly. You know why? Because in the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. The word wanteth means lacketh. You know what? Human nature is the more we talk, sooner or later, the more sin we're going to do. You know, there's a couple of young men around here that sometimes I just want to pull over and say, you know, you just need to practice being quiet. I mean, we're all interested in your latest great stories that tell about how wonderful you are, but he that hath knowledge spareth his words, promise. And what I'm talking about a law. I'm talking about responsibilities, not rights. Well, I say whatever I want to. Wait a minute, not according to the Bible you can't. I got freedom. I've got my rights. I've got my... What about your responsibilities? Speak only after thinking. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. Seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? There is more hope of a fool than of him. Speak honestly. You know what? If we just eliminate lying, you know what? We'd cut down most of the conversations going on in the United States of America. I mean, politicians, we'd take them completely off the campaign trail right there. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. He that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness, but a false witness. And by the way, you know what truth is? Truth is speaking the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help you God. That's what it is. So you only say what is absolutely true. You don't exaggerate it. You don't embellish it. And by the way, you don't tell a partial truth either and leave some things out because it's convenient to leave out. If we just, you know what I'm saying is this. You don't have freedom of speech in the eyes of God. You have the responsibility of speech. You don't have a right to speak. You have a responsibility to make sure that when you speak, how about this? You would say, well, it says, you said speak honestly, and there's some honest things, and some things, sometimes honesty is just ugly, and you know what? Well, wait a minute. How about this? Speak with grace. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, which, guess what? Tempers the other principle. And you know what? Everything that is true shouldn't be said. How about seasoning your speech with a little salt? How about baptizing it with a little bit of grace? Speak only acceptable words. We got to be careful in this matter of, watch this, we got to be careful in this matter of slang words, young people. I hear a generation are using slang words that Brother Tim, me and you grew up with, and we knew what they mean. And by the way, I don't think these young people are as dumb as they think they are. And I'm not going to say them from the pulpit, but some of you are saying stuff that are derived from sexually explicit terms and actions, and it's become accepted to say it around the church house, and I'm going to call you on it. Okay. Well, I was just talking about a vacuum cleaner. No, you weren't. You better watch. Listen, you know what? It's time we cleaned up our talk. I'm not talking about in the bar. I'm talking about in the church house. I'm talking about in the Christian school. I'm talking about amongst homeschool kids. It's about time we cleaned our talk up. Hey, listen to me. How about speak appropriately? You know what? There's a season, a time to every purpose under the sun. Speak respectfully. Rebuke not an elder. Treat him as a father. And the younger men as brother. Elder women as mothers. Younger as sisters with all purity. Respectful. Just speak. Listen, what do you say? I got freedom of speech. No, you got the responsibility of speech. You know what the Bible says? Life and death is in the power of the tongue. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. That means, you know, it's funny. Parents, remember that first year? We got a video. Cheryl was showing it to me yesterday, and AJ and Tabitha is doing everything they can to get Jalen to crawl. And so they get her on all fours like this, and they prop her up, and it's so funny because she's on all four and she's rocking back and forth like, I'm gonna go, I'm gonna go, I'm gonna go. And they're chanting in the background, go Jalen, go, go Jalen, go. And they're trying to get her to crawl. And you know what? She does it for about 30 seconds, and then she spreads her arms out, lays on her belly, and looks up at him like that. You know? And my wife said, they're working so hard to get her to crawl, and once she gets crawling, you know what? They're gonna regret it. They're gonna regret it. She's gonna be in there. We spent an entire year trying to get our kids to talk and to talk and to talk. And for the first year, we're trying to get them. It's a race. Will they say mommy first, daddy first, you know, and all these words. And then we do that for a year. And the next 17 years, we're telling them, be quiet, be quiet, be quiet, be quiet. You know? Somewhere along the line, we understand that with the ability to talk comes. I'm trying to help you folks. Listen to me. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of hearing people march and carry signs and talk about their rights. When's the last time you saw somebody get together and carry signs and talk about their responsibility? Hey, Target, I don't care if you have a right to do something. What about your responsibility? What about your responsibility? Abortion is legal. You say, preacher, abortion is legal in America. Listen to what I'm going to say next. It is legal, but it is not lawful. Let me say it again. It is legal, but it is not lawful. Amen. You show me anywhere in the books, you show me anywhere in the law books where a law has ever been passed, legalized, and making it lawful to have an abortion in America. You know what we've got? We've got a Supreme Court and a judicial system that's run past the boundaries of the Constitution of the United States. You know what we need Americans to do? We need Americans to say, if you can't show me a law that's been passed by our Congress, by the legislative branch, then you know what? Don't talk about the law of the land, because the Supreme Court cannot create a law. Well, that's the law of the land. Well, that's the law of the land. No, it may be legal, but it is not lawful. Well, wait a minute. When we talk about this matter of abortion, you say, well, it's legal. It's legal to take the life of my unborn baby. Well, wait a minute. You may have a right in this world to do it. I don't think you have a right before Almighty God, but you may have a right. But wait a minute, you're swinging your arms, and where you're swinging them is affecting somebody else's nose. You don't go into that procedure. Listen, you go into that procedure and you come home alive. Somebody went into that procedure with you, and you know what? They don't come home, and they're robbed of a future, and they're robbed of a life, and we're so worried about our rights. And you know why they sold this abortion thing, ladies? They sold it on the back of women's rights. They sold it on the back of women's rights. I got a new concept for you. How about women's responsibility? Well, I'm going to turn 18, preacher, and I've been a young lady in this church, and I've been made to dress a certain way, but when I'm 18, I have a right. No, you have a responsibility, young lady. You have a responsibility that's going to affect the morals of a nation. I'm sick and tired of hearing about the rights of blacks and the rights of Native Indians and the rights of Americans and the rights of bald people and the rights of skinny people and the rights of everybody else. Hey, let's hear some talk about some responsibility. Because what you and I do affects other people. This whole issue with the transgender bathroom and by the way, we need to say it this way, transgender bathroom and locker room issue. Say that, transgender bathroom and locker room issue. This entire, listen to me, this entire battle over this is people wanting rights while they trample over their responsibilities. People wanting rights while they steal the rights of others. And by the way, don't think this is affecting some things. Here's an article about Target. And by the way, I'm going to keep talking about Target. I'm not sure that sometime in June we're not going to go up to Plainfield and just surround that place because it's dying down a little bit. And we need to get it stirred back up. They are unrepentant about their policy. They have no intention of changing it. They've said it again and again. And by the way, this latest thing where they came out and declared their position, they had already had that position for years. They just publicly came out and announced it. Now watch this. It's not, here's an article about what's going on with Target. I'm talking about the school, the store Target and their proclamation about their new or at least it's not really a new policy, but an explanation of their existing policy. Here's an article about it. It's not clear when this became official policy, but one can assume it started in 2014 when the popular retailer declared their support for same-sex marriage, which was 4 years after their CEO became a target of the activist left mob after it was discovered the company contributed $150,000 to a politician who opposed gay marriage. Okay, so the left activist left notice that Target had contributed $150,000 to a politician back in 2000 who opposed gay marriage. So, of course, they attack Target. So Target's now got to prove that they are for same-sex marriage. Target has been atoning for that transgression ever since and are back in the good graces of the liberal LGBT leaders. Their Wednesday announcement was no exception. But the ugly thing about this not new policy is that it may have already led to the victimization of women and children. By the way, a simple Google search provides dozens of cases of peeping Toms arrested at Target stores across the country for taking pictures and or videos of women and children in various states of undress in Target's fitting rooms and bathrooms. This has been going already. They know it's been going on all the way since 2014, Rhode Island, a man videotapes a woman in the stall next door. She's trying on a swimming suit. September 2017 in Ohio, Cleveland, in the Target. All these happen in everything I'm going to read in a Target store. Cleveland man charged with peeping at boy in Western Hills Target bathroom. South Carolina, Anderson PD, peeping Tom took pics of young ladies in the ladies' bathroom. November 2014, California, Target employee arrested, allegedly photographed woman in the dressing room. February 2014 in Hawaii at Kahuna's Target, peeping Tom in the girls' bathroom. March 2015, Pennsylvania, man admitted secretly recorded women in Target dressing rooms. April 2015, Missouri, in a Target store, peeping Tom caught filming women in Brentwood Target dressing rooms. April 2015, by the way, y'all go to Target if you want to. It's about time that we held them to some responsibility. Say, well, preacher, it's legal, it's lawful, they have a right. Yeah, and I've got a right to choose where I go do business, too. How about that? By the way, it goes on. Oklahoma, I like this one. Woman chases down peeping Tom after Target dressing room incident. I messed with the wrong woman right there. I'll read that article. That's pretty funny. Maryland, August 2015, Kingsville man held in suspected Bel Air peeping Tom incident at a Target store. Ohio, Miami Township. And by the way, all these were happening prior to them coming out and now giving a public invitation to all the perverts in America saying, hey, you know what, we don't have a problem with it. Can you imagine what the next list is going to look like? What are we talking about this morning? We're talking about rights or responsibilities. You know, well, I got a right. Well, what about your responsibility? And by the way, we are so worried about the rights of the transgenders. They're saying, I want my right. And by the way, folks, listen to me. If you're a moral pervert, you are not deserving of rights. Let me say it again. If you're a moral pervert, you are not deserving of rights. Talk to Brian Morris. When somebody commits a crime and they go to the penitentiary, do they have any rights there in that penitentiary? Some? Not much. They're reduced down to, listen, you know what? This whole idea of I'm going to be involved in criminal activity, I'm going to be a moral pervert, and I ought to have the same civil right. Listen, here's the problem with that. What about the rights of 3,098,011 Hoosier women? What about their right to privacy? What about their right to decency? What about their right to safety? What about their right to protection? What about their rights? They're swinging their fist and they're getting it close to my wife's nose. And you know what? I don't care how big or bad you are. You swing your fist and get close to my wife's nose, me and you's going to have an issue. Now, preacher, how's this all fit in with Memorial Day weekend? We'll say this and we'll be done. We honor and we remember members of American military who paid the ultimate price. A lot of the activities over the next day will be geared in that direction, and we should. Let me just say this, young people, you need to get this. Those brave men and women did not die for you to spend your life screaming about your rights. They died so that you could spend your life fulfilling your responsibilities. And so if you want to get your thinking rewired, get off this is my rights, and start thinking, what is my American and my Christian and my biblical and my family and my neighborhood and my community responsibilities? Spend your life fulfilling responsibilities, not talking about your rights. And by the way, if you do that, your rights will be secured. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you would help us, dear God, to teach a generation what we might say is a new way of thinking, but honestly, it's a very old way of thinking. It's tied into the lives of our forefathers. It's tied into those brave men and women who carved out a nation. It's tied to those that got on ships and came to America's shores and those who helped birth this nation through travail, and many of them risked everything because they felt a God-given responsibility to do so. And I pray, Lord, that this thought would be repeated in our heart with your Holy Spirit's help over the next 24, 48 hours, Lord, as we are involved in this Memorial Day weekend, Lord, that you would help us, dear God, to be thinking and thoughtful, Lord, of so many who were willing to fulfill their obligation, their duty, and their responsibility to defend our nation. We would not waste their sacrifice by watching our country, Lord, literally disintegrate because a selfish and wicked and perverse generation has decided to rise up and declare rights and ignore responsibilities. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us, dear God, as Christians, to be the trailblazers in this new way of thinking. We pray in Jesus' name.